and into light. But when I return to the darkness, which is the enemy's plan, you see, there is no reason for me ever to be there ever again till the end of all time. That door has been shut by the blood of the Lamb, which is perfect, sinless, and spotless, and nothing is greater. That blood speaks louder than the word of the enemy and his accusing. But yet, I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. The King of the universe dwells in me, and I'm one with him. So I actually walk in a considerable amount of authority. Let's go to the next verse. You were not who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. So, as a child of God, I live in mercy. And mercy triumphs over judgment. But when I return to the darkness and I listen to the lies of the accuser and I begin to dig in my filthy rags again, all of my authority in Christ is no longer being used in worship. It's now being used to yank something out from under the blood. Need to hear this, guys. You are a chosen generation, a holy nation. You have power. Your power makes things happen. Because Christ is alive in you, not dead, not on vacation. He is in you and alive in you. So when I am not using my power and authority to release life through the power of my tongue and the power of my agreement, and I go over here and I start digging things out from under the blood, I am using my authority to partner with evil against Christ in me. Not just myself, but against Christ in me. I am denying the glory of God in me, and I am using my authority to do so, which is everything the enemy counts on. This is what he is looking for. He is looking for our agreement. So in this season, the Lord has been talking to me about being a son. Let's go to Psalm 2, verses 7 and 8, please. You see, we're not defined or found in what we do. What we do is what flows out of who we are. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if I believe and agree with the fact that I'm filthy rags, I'm going to keep manifesting that in my life. I'm going to keep pulling up the junk and pulling up the stuff that's already under the blood and truly dealt with. If, 5 pages, okay, trying to... right here. Get the message across, not get lost. Let's read Psalm 2. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. The name there, son, is Ben, not we us. It's a specific individual whose job is the builder of the family name. When the name is carried through the sons, the line of Anderson, we have 3 sons. Our name will be carried into 3 more families that will, if they have sons, be 3 more families. The job of son, Ben, is to build the family name. This scripture says, you are my son. Your job is to build the family name. You have a role on this planet. This here is our identity. We carry our Father. We are the carrier of his name. We are the carrier of his seal. We are the carrier of his authority. And as we live on the earth, it is to build his name on the earth. That is who we are as a people. Let us go to Revelation 21:7. I like 40 scriptures today. It was like so good. Revelation 21, verse 7. Remember, our identity is not found in what we do. I am not Diana the worship pastor. Worship pastor is one of many things that flows out of my sonship and my design as a Ben for my father. It is a manifestation of who I already am. If I stopped today, if I lost my voice, if I could never pick up another guitar, my identity does not change because it is not found in what I do. That is the fruit of who I am. And it's only one fruit. You know what's really cool about being a tree in God's garden is you get to bear all different kinds of fruit. There's a banana on my tree and an orange on my tree and an apple and a passion fruit and a watermelon. That would be exciting to see hanging from a branch. But there are many different fruits in this tree because the tree isn't defined by the fruit. It's defined by the tree from whom I came. I am the Father's seed. And my life is to bear the Father's fruit. So Revelation 21, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We overcome by the blood. The blood that we have no power to shed. The blood that we have absolutely no power to change. It is a finished, completed work. That work of another has caused me to overcome. I partner in agreement as a son with that work by the word of my testimony of who he is. I am a son. I am a Ben. I am a builder of the family name of the kingdom of God, of El Elyon, Adonai, the Lord God. And Jesus, his son, my king, my brother, my beloved, the glorious one. This is my testimony. So my overcoming has already again been accomplished. So when I look at the scripture, he who overcomes, the first thing that hits me is I think, oh, I have to fight against the enemy and I have to overcome my sin. And I have, no, it's done. I get to agree because that's my birthright. And the authority of Christ in me is my agreement. That is the authority of Christ in me. Will I agree with life or will I agree with death? So in my agreement, the blood has been completed on my behalf. And he is now my God. And when everything is based on that, then I'm no longer worried about my fruit. I love not my life unto the death. And only in this place do I have all. All. Everything I need for life and godliness. Everything I need. Let's go to John 8, 31 through 33, please. We are heading into a Resurrection Life Conference. Don't miss it. October 19th through the 22nd. Go online, sign up. We want you all to come. We want you to bring friends. Grab a stranger. Bring them too. Okay. The funny thing God's been talking to me about is that resurrection life does not come from life. Resurrection only shows up when something's dead. But this stuff here that, you know, if you go like this, that hurts. This is flesh, you know, feels very real. It doesn't like to die. And I will say, yes, I love not my life unto the death until I'm falling and I'm grabbing at everything I can. No. But here's the deal. Resurrection only comes from death. The death Christ wants, the death God wants in our life is the lies that we agree with. Now, you'll say, well, he wants the death of your flesh or he wants the death of your ego. Okay, he gave you all of these things. until we have our gloriously manifested body, hallelujah, no pain, amen. Until we're there, I get to live with this. I get to live with this soul. God does not need to, he does not want me flagellating myself, killing my flesh. I'm beating my flesh. I'm beating my flesh. What he wants to beat down are the lies that are here that cause me to perhaps elevate my flesh higher than it needs to be. You see, I'm looking at the fruit again instead of the root. I'm beating up the apple instead of going, what's going on in the roots? God is after lies, and lies must be displaced by a truth. If you think of your beliefs, your belief system, as a storehouse of shelves, there is only room on that shelf for one item. Now, next to it is room for another item. But if there's an item on that shelf, I can't put something in its space. That space can only hold one item at a time. Now, if I have a lie occupying that space on the shelf, then no matter how hard I try and cram the truth in there, it's going to keep falling off. It's got to be displaced. The lie has to be removed and the truth put in its place. But now here's the deal. The lies start coming in from before you were born. If any of you guys have done any of the healing encounters or the healing rooms, there's this whole crazy supernatural thing where, like, people who are following Satan in your upline 5-6 generations ago can curse the generations on down. And it has some sort of power that's actually true. But now God doesn't want us to be hopeless. He's like, I've given you the blood. I've given you the blood because there is much in your life that you never invited, that you never asked in, that it was the basket you received upon coming to the planet. But he's not overwhelmed by that. He's not knocked back by that. He's like, we're going to go take those things that you, because what happens is through life, we take those things and we put them on our shelf. And we begin to believe lies that were given to us through the brokenness of those we love, through the brokenness of those we don't love, through the enemy. And we take those lies and we imbibe them and they become part of us and they become part with us. And the Lord's like, I want that lie. You're like, sure, you can have that lie. Here. No, really, here. I'm trying to pick it up. Here. I would give you this lie, God. I'm trying. Of course, I want to give you this lie. And we try to hand him the lie. And we can't hand it over. And we're like, what the heck? I don't want to keep this. You're revealing it to me. But here's how the lie gets unwoven. Trial. Tribulation. Fire. Death. You see, that thing is so woven in. It's like when you think of cancer surgery, sometimes when they go in like for brain cancer and that tumor has wove itself all in and around the brainstem, they can't just go in and just go, nick, it's out. It's a very meticulous, painful process. And the lies of the enemy about our identity are cancer, and they're deep in our souls. And we will spend from here to eternity unpacking them because we live in a fallen world, in a natural world, in a flesh-driven world where the enemy has permission from God and permission from us through our agreement to run rampant. Because here's something he showed me a couple weeks ago, and I'll probably get rotten fruit thrown at me for saying this. Satan is a construct of God. Therefore, he is also a tool of God. He is not equal, not even close to equal. He does not make God nervous. He does not surprise God. He is a tool to teach his sons to walk in righteousness, joy, and peace, love, and authority. Because he's like the sheepdog of heaven. Satan and God want the same thing, our death. Satan wants to rip and tear us apart to destruction. God wants to rip and tear apart the cancer that's killing us anyway. And he allows the enemy to come after us and come after us to get us to a place where we're like, okay, what is it? He's like that. And you're like, okay, how come I can't pick this up? He goes, because you have to die. And let me do the cancer surgery here. You cannot save yourself. You cannot deliver yourself from a lie, no matter how smart you are, no matter how much of the Bible you have memorized. You cannot set yourself free. You can come into agreement that his blood is enough, and you can go, all right then, kill me. Because I want to live. I want to live glorious and shining where they can't see me. All they see is you. I want you to have your work in me to release glory, all the glory that you had planned when you thought me up, before you put me in my mother's womb. Truth. Okay, let's go to... Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Next verse. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth is for sons. Let's go to 3 John verse 1, chapter 1, verse 4. 3 John. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's a great prayer for every parent, grandparent, aunt, uncle, friend, brother. But that my children, see, children are called to the truth. The truth is for sons. Let's go to James chapter 1. Go read all of James. Go read all of Hebrews 6, 11, and 12. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 18. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The word of truth is what defines us. We're free when we get that. When I understand that I'm a Ben, not a mistake, not a sinner, I'm a son, and the truth has been revealed to me, and I am now covered by the blood. It is the word of my testimony, and now my life is his, and I have a high priest no longer on the cross, but seated by the Father, rehearsing my promises. This is the one with whom I am to identify. Okay. Truth is meant for sons. He's calling you a son by revealing that truth to you. But here's the deal. The truth will crush you if you try and receive it outside of your sonship. The truth of God will crush you. You cannot bear the truth unless you receive it as a son. Unless you understand, I am his, I have his name, I am a builder of his kingdom. If the truth comes to you outside that revelation, if you're over here digging in your filthy rags and God's truth comes to you, it will devour you because you will never be able to live up to it. And you will be striving and you will be running and you will be swinging at the wind and you're going to be trying everything you can to live up to that word, which you cannot fulfill outside of sonship. Now God, the kingdom operates through agreement, not concession. You know what concession is? Whatever. God's dealing with me and my sonship right now because I just went through something where I went, well, you know what? If it happens, great. If it doesn't happen, that's fine. And he just said, that's not faith. And I'm like, I'm happy with whatever you choose. And he said, yes, but a son asks. And you're not asking, you're managing disappointment. I'm trying to avoid pain. So I'm stepping back into the rags that say he's not good and he doesn't love me. Now, I would never say that to any of you. Of course I believe he's good. Of course I believe he loves me. Well, apparently, I got a lie on my shelf where I don't believe he's good. And he's after that in me. I don't want to manage your disappointment. I want a son who says, Father, I would love this. And yes, I would love this. And you know what? I trust you. I trust you that if this isn't your best for me, because you want the best for me. Do you hear the difference? As opposed, well, if it's not your will, maybe it's just my flesh. Maybe I'm being selfish and I'm wanting too much. No. A son says, this or something better. Come on, Dad. Now, you have the freedom to choose different because my vision is like this big. But ask, and ask as a son without apology. Stop managing disappointment. So he's showing me, lie on your shelf. You don't see me as good. Right there. I'm like, God, you're always good. He's like, don't tell me what you've learned in Bible school. I'm at the truth of your heart right now. And this truth is crushing you because you are not standing in your sonship right here. This truth will destroy you if you don't receive it as a son. If you're going to be a slave and you're going to mess around in these dirty rags, it will eat you alive. Come out from among them. Come out and walk in freedom. Darkness is a construct of the Lord, just as Satan is a construct of the Lord. Now, I've got 8 million scriptures on that God is light. He is the phos. He is phosphorus. He's luminescent. God is light. And if he created everything, then for darkness to exist anywhere is a miracle. Because if light created everything, then light is in everything. So for there to be any darkness, that requires something supernatural. Because if God is in all and through all, I'm going to read to you Colossians 1, 15 through 17. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Everything holds together in God, in light. Everything is light. You are light. So for darkness to exist is a miracle. It has to be a supernatural work of the Father. So why would he create darkness? Now he's got to make it because he is light. So he can't be darkness because he is light. So he had to create darkness, absence. And darkness is the mercy of God to show us where he is not. It is the place where you go, there is loss and there is lack and there is pain. Because light is not here. And our job, I don't even like job. The fruit of my tree is to let the light out. Wherever I am, whatever I am doing. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, I was having lunch with Allie this week, and we were talking about all of this, and she just looked at me. She said, there is so much life in dead wounds. I went, hold on, can I use that, please? And I wrote it down because here's the deal. Our death is what he's after. Death to the lies. Death to the wrong beliefs. Death to anything that has agreed with darkness. And he's not looking for me to get cleaned up and go, oh, I'm okay. Because all we do is stuff our pockets when we try and clean ourselves up, when we try and fix. I'm the chief of sinners in this area. I'm a life coach. I got shelves and shelves of tools of how to be better, of how to improve yourself, of how to let go of bondages. He says, all great, and I do use them. But they can't be the end all and the be all. Christ must be the end all and the be all. And God might use some of those tools in your life, but if they are not leading you to uproot the lies where he's not good, then you're going to miss it. Because that's the bottom line. That he's good in everything and all ways. In everything and all ways. The Father. Okay, I'm going to leave you with just a little bit of hope. Let's go to, hopefully it's a lot of bit of hope. Hebrews 12. Go to Hebrews 12. But in Hebrews 6, it says, this hope we have is an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner, Jesus, awesome, has entered for us, having become high priest forever. God is looking for the freedom of your soul, not your circumstances. He is not looking to deliver you from poverty. He is not looking to deliver you from sickness. He is not looking to deliver you from sin. That is an accomplished work that is already done. His desire is that your soul would prosper. And, you know, we take our emotions and we're like, oh, our emotions, I wish I didn't feel so much. And you just want to live in the spirit. You cannot separate your soul from your spirit. You can't. To do so is to tell God, I only like part of what you made. You cannot separate your flesh from your spirit. Christ, Holy Spirit, Father God are not three separate entities. They are one. And if we are made in his image, we are made as one. So all these feelings that I wrestle with, this place in the second heaven where the enemy comes after me, God does not look at that and go, bad, bad, bad. He says, let me be good there because I desire that your soul would prosper. And when your soul is prospering, guess what? You're in good health. Who knew? It's all attached. It's all connected. We cannot separate out these things and say, I'm dealing with my flesh. No, you're not. You're dealing with a place you don't believe God is good. My emotions are taking off and I just can't land this plane and I keep having panic attacks. You are not dealing with your emotions. You are dealing with a place where you don't believe God is good. One son. We are one with him. And we are his son. Called to carry his name and to build the kingdom from here to eternity. So today, I would that you, your souls would prosper and that you would be in good health. Do not let go of your hope. It is the anchor for your soul. Hope means I trust he is good and he is working in all these places where I don't believe it. So I'm going to let death have its work in me because I'm tired of dragging these things and hoping he will revive these rather than bringing resurrection. The glorified body, the glorified life. And you know what? We experience that throughout our lives in all different places over and over and over again. It's not just a one-time thing. God is after a dead church. He is after. Oh, okay. Chapter 12, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, next verse, of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. I am among a company whose registry is in heaven. If we go look you up, the Ellis Island of Heaven, y'all are in it. Our name is in the register. We are that company. We are that company, and we have come to God, the judge of all. I am not my judge. He is my judge, and he is glorified and sitting next to the Father. And he is judging me according to his blood, not my fruit. We have come to the spirits of just men made perfect. Y'all go chew on that one for 2 weeks, because I guarantee you that we have come to the spirits of just men made perfect is talking about you. And that's a revelation that he's going to have to bring. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. Now see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they didn't escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape, one word, if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. You see, when we refuse him, when we refuse him, when we go, no, God, I'm not good. No, I'm not loved. No, I just keep doing it. No, I'm this. No, I'll never be that. If I were this, then I would be. That's a lie, and I'm back in the filthy rags. I am refusing him. I am refusing the work he has finished and done. Okay, stop seeing it as y'all selves. Stop partnering in your authority, because that's why it's so stinking powerful, is you have authority. Christ is in you. Christ, the hope of glory. Do not use him to agree against him. The blood is done. There is nothing that can change that. Nothing. Sorry, I know I'm yelling at y'all. Wake up and die. Come on. Because here's the bottom line. God is looking for a company of dead men walking. The glorious ones in Revelation who have overcome. The shiny ones whom his splendor can radiate through in any circumstance, in any situation. He does not say, I would that your bank account would prosper. He does not say, I would that your children would prosper. He says, I would that your soul would prosper. Because when your soul prospers, I am not governed by anything outside of here. And then the enemy does not have a hold. He can threaten my children. He can threaten my bank account. He can threaten my home. He can threaten all these things. But if these things do not define me, because God is after my soul prospering, then I am a dead man walking. And I am a fearsome thing on the earth. And I'm going to release the goodness of my Father, and I'm going to build his name. Now, it doesn't mean he doesn't want to prosper you in other areas, but it ain't the point. Don't tell me I have God's favor because my job is secure, my kids are serving the Lord, my marriage is happy. No, you have God's favor because Christ decided he would die for you. Bottom line, the blood. The blood, 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 the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. I'm saying this, I'm being annoying about it because I want it to keep coming up in your mind all week long. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. Nothing else, nothing else determines my standing. All things have been given me for life and godliness. All things are given you. So let's assume the position. Holy Spirit, too many words, I know. Just bring us to the place where resurrection can come forth. Here we are, your church, your chosen ones, your holy nation, our a holy registry in heaven. Come in and begin to displace the lies on our shelves. That the truth that we are to receive, the truth that has called us forth as sons, will have its place on the earth, will have its place in our lives, and that we will build your name. Make us a company of dead men walking. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks. Thank you.